that we're talking about from Revelation chapter 2. It's called the church at Thyatira. The church at Thyatira. If you'll follow along, Revelation chapter 2, beginning with verse 18, this particular portion is just a little lengthy, but we'll get through it real quick. It says, verse 18, "To the angel of the church in Thyatira write," or to the messenger, or to the pastor, "These are the words of the Son of God, whose eyes are like blazing fire, and whose feet are like burnished bronze. I know your deeds, your love, and your faith, and your service." This is from NIV. "And perseverance, and that you are now doing more than you did at first. Nevertheless, I have this against you. You tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet. By her teaching, she misleads my servants into sexual immorality and the eating of food sacrificed to idols." We'll talk all about that here in a minute. "I have given her time to repent of her immorality, but she is unwilling. So I will cast her on a bed of suffering." Whew, you don't want to fool with the Lord. "And I will make those who commit adultery with her suffer intensely unless they repent of her ways. I will strike her children dead," talking about the spiritual children that follow her. "And then all the churches will know that I am he who searches hearts and minds, and I will repay each of you according to your deeds. Now I say to the rest of you in Thyatira, to you who do not hold to her teaching and have not learned Satan's so-called deep secrets, I will not impose any other burden on you except to hold on to what you have until I come. To the one who is victorious and does my will to the end, I will give authority over the nations. That one will rule them with an iron scepter and will dash them to pieces like pottery. Just as I have received authority from my Father, I will also give that one the morning star." Jesus is the morning star, so he's going to give himself. Okay. "Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches." I've got two more short verses. One is from Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 1. Here's what it says. "Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary," that's like a pharmacist or one who puts together perfumes, "to send forth dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor." One more verse. This is from the Song of Solomon, chapter 2 and verse 15. "Take us the foxes," or it says, another translation says, "catch for us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes." Thank you, Lord, for your word today. Just let it touch our hearts. Let it go deep into our hearts to receive it in Jesus' name. Well, this morning, I can't speak for everyone, only for myself. I like to keep things simple. Anybody else like that? I like things that are uncomplicated. And that's why when Sister Cherry, wave your hand back there. When Sister Cherry comes into my office and says, "I need to speak with you," my first response is, "Well, it's not too deep, is it?" She says, "It is, but I'll keep it simple for you." And she proceeds to tell me, okay. You see, it's easier to be able to understand things when they are clear and straightforward and, yes, simple. For many years, that was the church at Thyatira. It was a simple church. They knew their identity. They knew their faith. They knew what their mission was. And they went about their lives in a simple and straightforward manner. It wasn't just the way they did church. It was the way the town lived. Thyatira could be described as a blue-collar town. It was a manufacturing town. There were wool workers, there were bakers, there were those who worked in the purple dye industry. There were those who made pottery, there were those who worked with bronze. Everyone knew their craft, and for most of the families, life was rather simple. Your great-grandfather worked in the purple dye business, and so did your grandfather and your father, and that is where you will work. Ancient labor unions then were formed and did their best to keep everything simple and working in order. And if you look at how Jesus describes the church, it is rather simple and straightforward. They were a growing and a maturing church. They knew how to make things, and they knew how to live the Christian life. They excelled in growing a church and making a difference in their community. And Jesus tells us that they were doing some amazing things. We read where they were active, they were loving, they were faithful, they were patient, they were serving, they were constantly growing. And that was just who they were as a town and as a church. And if you've ever been a part of a blue-collar town, then you can understand that type of terminology. Factory life, manufacturing life, requires a certain level of simplicity, and it thrives on people having a good work ethic. It thrives on people being punctual, faithful, patient, wanting to see growth, and experience maturity. You know, when we had our church school some 10 years plus, from 1995 to 2005, we were a stickler, if you please, for the students being on time. And they often complained about asking why that was such a big deal. 5 minutes is not that late. What we were doing was teaching them that their tardiness would carry over into their adulthood, and in time it would affect their work ethics. If you're continually late, guess what? You won't have a job very long. And sadly, there were those who took that negative trait to ride on into their adulthood. Thyatira was not a large town. In fact, it was the smallest of the seven towns that John writes about in the book of Revelations. But that was also a plus. It was large enough to offer a good living, but not so large that it forgot family and friends. It was just the right size to raise a family and live a good, simple life. I think most of us here this morning would have liked that type of church. It was an appealing church. It was a church that was growing, that held on to its faith, that loved and served others, and one which was patient. But then as we read, something happened that brought about a lot of chaos and a lot of confusion. There was, as they say, a fly in the ointment. And from our scripture text in the book of Ecclesiastes 10:1, we read about how some dead flies can ruin the making of a perfume. There is a fly in the ointment. I've shared this before, but in the early 90s, when we first got invited to southern Mexico, to the state of Chiapas, we left DFW, a group of us, and flew down to Mexico City on American Airlines. And at that point, they were to pick us up, and they did. Well, we got down there to get our luggage, and Darlene and I could not find our luggage. It did not come on the carousel, and we were to be there a week to 10 days. And you can tell, you ought to know if you've been in that situation, it's kind of heart-stopping there. Thank goodness we had carried on board, the bag on board, some set of extra clothes there. Thank you, Jesus, for that. And we figured it had been stolen. Byron Moss, many of you know a little Byron Moss. He went with us on that first trip. Well, he taped up his baggage with the brightest red tape you could spot it a mile off. And so as he went to look, he couldn't find his luggage on the carousel. So he spanned the opening there at the airport. And way down there, fixing to go out the double doors, he saw his luggage on a cart along with other luggage. He heads out that way. Before the guy went out the door, he stopped him, showed him his numbers, got his luggage back. Thank you, Lord. Well, Brother Danny Plowman had prophesied that before we left. He said, he used this word. He said, it's going to be a great trip, but there would be a fly in the ointment. And of course there was, but we did get our luggage finally at our final destination. About the middle of the week, the luggage was delivered. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So we survived all of that. But there certainly was a fly in the ointment. In the Song of Solomon, chapter 2 and 15, we read where the little foxes can spoil the vine. And in Jesus' parable of the four soils in Matthew 13, when you read it, you see how the presence of a few weeds can choke the life out of some valuable plants. Plants that need room to grow and mature. Something had come into the church of Thyatira that was a threat to its very existence. Jesus calls out this person who had the same characteristics then and personality of the woman named Jezebel in the Old Testament. Some scholars say that it was a false prophetess, a woman prophet, as the Bible says, that had come into the church. You may remember Jezebel, the story in the Old Testament. She was the daughter of the king of Tyre and the wife of King Ahab. And she was a great thorn in the side of the prophet Elijah. She made it her life mission to try and replace the worship and presence of the Lord with the worship and the presence of the Canaanite god Baal. It was the god of her people, and she wanted Baal then to be the god of Israel. Included in the worship of Baal then, they gave over to the participation in temple prostitution, also human trafficking, child sacrifice. It also says cutting and witchcraft. Terrible, terrible stuff. That was over in the Old Testament. So what was it that had happened then in Thyatira? Remember, we said that Thyatira was a blue-collar town with a lot of different trades. And each trade would have what we would call a union or a guild. Every so often, those trade unions would get together and have a large celebration. And those celebrations would include thanking and praising the local gods and the goddesses, along with having a fair share then of drinking and carousing and what they call promiscuity. You paid your dues, you did your work, and every now and then you were invited to attend a celebration time to honor the god and goddesses. And as a plus, there would be plenty of drinking and promiscuity. Each of the unions would have a group of men and women available for your pleasure. And that is just how it was. It's not too different than some of the office parties that happen in many parts of our country today. People get together to have a great time. Spouses are often excluded. And having too much to drink, people tend to let down their guard. And bad things happen. Can you say amen? Amen. The church of Thyatira then knew that after they had come to Christ, that such behavior was no longer permitted. You were no longer supposed to bow down to the pagan gods and goddesses, and you were to keep yourself pure and holy. And as the Apostle Paul wrote in his letter to the church at Thessalonica, he said, you test everything. You hold fast to what is good. You abstain from every form of evil. And then John had wrote this in one of his letters, 1 John chapter 2. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eye, and the pride in possessions is not from the Father, it's from the world. Then over in chapter 4 of 1 John, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. The issue was very simple. A certain person with this spirit of Jezebel had come into the church, and here's what they were proclaiming. Well, you could put your Christianity off to the side for a little while you actively participate in whatever was happening at the company party or the worship services. I read recently of a pastor who some years ago, he shared a message about living up to the name of Jesus. And he said one of the men after the service thanked him for his message. But he wanted him to know that there were certain things that he had to do in his business to make a living. The pastor said he later found out that it was a business that sold food and other items to convenience stores, along with having a magazine rack. Now, nothing bad about any of that. A person should be able to sell food and household products. And people like, back then, they liked all kinds of magazines, like anybody remember Good Housekeeping or Better Homes and Gardens? That's way back. That's telling our age, isn't it? Southern Living and Field and Stream. Oh, that was a good one. Nowadays, you only see those mainly in the waiting rooms of a doctor's office. Amen. Or in an old-timey barbershop. I know the one I go to here on the square has all of them old Field and Streams. I've read them over and over and over, you know, and they go way back. But the pastor said he then discovered that the man provided the largest selection of adult magazines in the area. Here he was, a Christian man. And again, this was many years ago, yet those were the ones that he said he had to sell to make a living. The pastor said, I did not agree with him all those years ago, and I still don't agree with him today. And so can I tell you this morning, neither did Jesus when it came to his church. Being a part of a union or a guild or an association was no big deal. Having to go to the company party was no big deal. We've done that. But what was a big deal was participating in the evil that went along with those celebrations. Can you say amen? Amen. And it happens all over our nation today. Some people get together after work. They have a company party. They have a celebration. And suddenly, guess what? Things start getting out of hand. And we must understand that when that happens, it's time to go home. It's time to go home. As a believer, you have to make a decision. Oh, pastor, I can handle it. It's no big deal. Maybe I can show some of them Jesus. No. No. It's time to remove yourself from that situation. I hope you're hearing me this morning. It's time to let the Holy Spirit guide you out of certain circumstances, out of certain situations, and out of some conversations. Amen. Before you get yourself trapped. I know what I'm talking about. Don't be deceived by the enemy. Don't let yourself become trapped. And that's what was happening here in this church at Thyatira. And it appears that there were some in the church that wanted to stamp their approval of such things. There was this attitude that, well, it'll be okay to side with the current trends of culture and the world over the spiritual disciplines of the church. And on top of that, there was this new thought coming into the church from what they call the Gnostics, that were like a New Age group, who believed that what was done in the body had no bearing on the soul. Well, you could commit a sin in your body, but yet still be pure in your soul. The physical was one thing and the soul was another. You got to understand me this morning. That is not what Jesus taught. What we do in the body does affect the soul. And what we do in the soul affects the body. I promise you it will. So there was a fly in the ointment, in the spiritual ointment in the church at Thyatira. There was the presence of little foxes in the church at Thyatira. There were some weeds that were being allowed to grow in the church's spiritual garden. And yes, the church's future was in the balance. It was decision time then for the church at Thyatira. Yes, they were a very loving church. Yes, they were very patient and they were tolerant, Brandon. Yet a little too patient and a little too tolerant. In some ways, this church was the very opposite of the sister church at Ephesus. The Ephesus church was quick to stomp out anything that had to do with evil, but at the same time, they didn't always do that with a loving heart. How many know there has to be a balance? Thyatira wanted to just be so much love, they wanted there to be so much love, they wanted to be the patience, and they wanted to have the tolerance, that they made the mistake of not being disciplined enough. They were too tolerant when it came to sin being a part of the church and their personal lives. The words then that Jesus spoke were words that let the church know that enough was enough. Their patience and their tolerance was not stopping this Jezebel person or this spirit from hurting the church and its very future. If they didn't stop this problem, guess what? Jesus said, I'll take care of it. Jesus loves His church too much to let it be overtaken with evil. You've got to know that. And today we live in a time where the motto of the day is to be loving and kind and patient and tolerant. Guess what? Those are not bad things in and of themselves. How many know that? Right. However, we cannot be so loving that we can just put up with sin. Amen. We can't be so tolerant that we just allow or permit any type of behavior or sin to exist in the church and in our lives. We can't be so kind that we don't stand up for anything. I know it's not an easy task. And that's why then we need the Holy Spirit's leadership and guidance every day of our lives. I know I do. And that's why we need to know to not just read our Bibles, but allow our Bibles, this Word of God, to be our guidebook every day of our lives. That's why we need to test the spirits and make sure that we're not allowing in some flies that will ultimately make what should smell good smell like rotten dead flies. Oh, but Pastor, they prophesy, Pastor. Oh, and they move in the spirit, Pastor. They ooh and they ah. Oh. No. Look at somebody and say, no. You try the Spirit and see if it lines up with the Word of God before you swallow it hook, line, and sinker. I'm telling you, if you're full of the Holy Ghost, some bells are going to come on, start ringing when you know they're kind of off balance. Something's just not right with this. I don't know what it is. That's when you ask the Holy Spirit, okay, you show me. Amen. We've experienced that through the years. And that's why we all need to make sure then that we don't allow the little foxes and the weeds to destroy what Christ has built over the last 2,000 years. Amen. Thankfully, the church of Thyatira obeyed and they survived. It continued to be a loving, hardworking, and patient. It also stepped up to the plate and realized that it must at times stand up for righteousness and say or even shout no, affirm no, if they had to sin. It had to allow the Holy Spirit then to give them a voice to stand up to evil and to sin. And so, yes, there are times that we ourselves must be like the prophet Nathan over in the Old Testament. You remember the story? He stood up to King David, who, after he had molested Bathsheba and killed her husband or had him killed, David had thought that he had gotten away with his sin. He thought he would continue to live without any consequences. But you need to know, God will not forever tolerate sin. Yes, He is patient and He is kind. But as this passage today teaches us, there is a point where God says, enough is enough. Oh, help us, Lord. As I close, bringing this to a close today, let's learn from this church at Thyatira. Let's learn that good churches and great churches are those who are kind, loving, patient, hardworking, faithful, and trying always to better tomorrow, to be better tomorrow than they were today. And at the same time, let us listen then to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Test the spirits. And what the Holy Spirit says is sin, is sin. What's wrong is wrong. Plain and simple. Amen? What the Bible says is sin. Plain and simple. Yes, we're to be loving, but we can never accept sin as a part of our righteousness and holiness. Do you understand what I'm saying today? We can never tolerate sin to the point where it becomes accepted and becomes the norm in our lives and in our homes or in the church. Sin can never be the norm in the life of a believer. Amen. If it does, again, there will come that time that God says, enough is enough. That's why every day of our lives, every day of my life, Lord, you got to help me today. I surrender my heart to you again this morning. Lord, you lead me and guide me today. And Lord, I want my sins dealt with. I do not want to carry them into judgment. I don't want to stand before you with something that you're going to have to confront me with. Deal with me now. I want it dealt with. I want my heart cleaned. I know you do. Let me leave you with this one last verse. We must always remember what the Apostle Peter wrote in 1 Peter 2:9. Here he goes. But you are not like that, speaking of the world, for you are a chosen people. Look at somebody and say, you're a chosen person. You are a royal priest. You're a holy nation. God's very own very possession. As a result, then, you can show others the goodness of God. Why? Because He's called you out of darkness into this wonderful light. Can you worship the Lord with a hand clap today? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for watching online, and we'd love to have you visit with us in person. But until then, we love you and God bless you. Let's all stand.